A lot of inventions are aimed at making us more beautiful, more enticing to the people we hope to entice. Think orthodontics, alcohol, Spanx. But there's a little dial on the wall that perhaps has done more than any other item to assist us in matters of seduction. Todd Bookman has the backstory on one of the great American inventions.
When your mother is a knockout, this undoubtedly affects the path your life takes.
He was always very aware of aesthetics because his mother was a model in New York City.
Joel Spira was family to not only lookers, but also very successful, driven people. His dad used to frequent speakeasies before gaining a seat on the state liquor board. His father-in-law started an electronics company, then a giant magazine publishing business.
His sister ended up going into the art world and became the number two at the Guggenheim. So there's always been this right brain, left brain, the arts and the sciences in our family, very Bauhaus.
This is Joel Spira's daughter, Susan Hockarinen. Following in the family tradition, she earned a PhD in applied plasma physics from MIT and is involved with several arts organizations. Her father, son of the model, served in the Navy during World War II, where he worked on radar systems. Then Spira went and got his physics degree before moving to New York City. It was there, in his Manhattan apartment in 1959, where Spira's tinkering would result in the device that forever changed the way humans see each other. It was a new type of transistor that dramatically shrunk the hardware required to lower the lights, the dimmer switch. Before his invention, there were dimmers in use in ballrooms and on Broadway and in other engineering applications, but they were often these very big, ungainly devices that had to be hidden in back rooms, where they emitted a ton of heat. Spira's advancement, his transistor, was small enough and safe enough to slip into electrical boxes in the wall. It functions sort of like the way a dam controls the amount of water moving through. Picture a gate opening and closing rapidly, letting in little bursts of power.
You can turn on and shut off something very, very fast, right? It's almost like extreme flickering of a light. And if you turn it on and off fast enough, our eyes kind of aggregate that light and it looks like it's actually less light. And that's really all that's happening. So it's basically a super fast light switch that makes it feel like the light is at a much lower intensity.
Brent Protzman is an engineer at Lutron Electronics, the company Joel Spira formed when he began production of the dimmer switch in the 1960s. The headquarters are still in Coopersburg, just outside of Allentown, Pennsylvania. In the early days, Lutron didn't market its dimmer to electricians or contractors. Instead, they wanted to appeal to a different audience, to women, to wives interested in perhaps generating a little extra spice at home. Picture Betty Draper bored in the suburbs. The company called its dimmer the Capri. Susan Hockarinen says every detail of the ad campaign was considered, right down to the packaging.
He was looking for a box that was attractive, and he found that a company did an overrun of perfume boxes. This box manufacturer had these beautiful perfume boxes, and he said, you know what, I'll take these off your hands and just print my name on it. And these were beautiful boxes when everybody else was doing industrial boxes.
Along with the nice boxes, he set up displays in New York department stores like E.J. Corvettes, so women could experience the dial for themselves. A side-by-side promotional photo showed a stay-at-home mom sipping coffee under bright lights. But when they get dimmed, out comes a domestic goddess, a half acre of décolletage on display, her face softly burning with desire.
The theme in the early days was dial romance.
Michael Pessina is the current president of Lutron. He says the Don Draper style campaign was built around the idea that kids could still do their homework after school at the dining room table. But once they were safely tucked in, the adults could ponder making more kids at the turn of a knob.
Because there's nothing more romantic than that beautiful flicker of a candlelight. And the dimming technology could allow that to happen. So any light for any need or any use of the space. And the dining room was a nice place for that.
The dimmer soon expanded beyond the dining room and into the living room and eventually the bedroom. It gave these spaces access to the secrets of Hollywood lighting designers.
If you do the lighting well, the shadows on your face are interesting and dynamic. So it actually, as you move, you watch each other's faces and you look attractive, but it's also interesting and dynamic.
The soft light softens hard edges, the wayward hairs, the bags under our eyes. It seemingly glances off surfaces rather than spotlighting them. But does it actually kickstart our libido in a more primal way? That's the question I pose to this guy.
Name and title?
I'm Keith Richards of the Rolling Stones. I'm lead guitarist. Is that the right level of sound?
Yes, but your real name and title.
Oh, my real name. Well, I have an alter ego. I'm George Brainerd, a professor of neurology at Thomas Jefferson University.
Brainerd, who I would have pegged more a Simon and Garfunkel guy, has spent his career studying light's impact on humans. In fact, he says you should think of light like a drug, in that the quantity consumed correlates with a measurable chemical change in the body, a response. So does dim light work like a prescription drug on us, kickstarting our desires?
I think it's excellent marketing, but I'm afraid I can't cite the science behind it.
Okay, no one has proven that the dimmer is the little blue pill or pink pill on the wall, but Brainerd says that doesn't mean dim light doesn't influence our behavior.
We know for a fact, things that I can say with more clarity, is when you dim the light in the evening, you hasten the onset of the production of the hormone melatonin. That's related to calming the body down, preparing it for sleep. And of course, romance is something we often do around the time of sleep. So you're gearing down from the heavy workday, slowing the pace, and perhaps getting in the mood.
In its 50-plus years on the market, the dimmer has evolved into something far more than a romantic tool. Bill Bram is an architect at the University of Pennsylvania, where he leads a program on sustainable design.
The dimmer has found a whole bunch of new uses, but primary among them is the saving of energy.
Less light uses less electricity, plus lower light helps light bulbs last longer. Joel Spira and Lutron knew this from the beginning, and now they, along with other dimmer manufacturers, market this angle along with the aesthetic one. Bigger buildings, think airports and skyscrapers, use dimmers to cut costs. And a lot of modern offices strategically dim lights at certain times.
So the dimmed light in the office is typically, if it's being done well, is being dimmed in response to the amount of daylight available, to keep the amount of light constant, to save energy. All of which is still in the service of making you work as hard as you can as for as many hours as you can, which I would describe as the opposite of what you do when you come home or what you want to do when you come home and what the dimmed light at the table or the candle at the table helps you to achieve.
Lutron now sells thousands of other products, including electronic window shades and other energy-conscious devices. And while Joel Spira is named on hundreds of patents, it will be the dimmer switch that he's forever linked. In 2010, the original was added to the Smithsonian's collection. Michael Piscina, the current president, joined Spira at the unveiling.
I knew him almost 39 years, and I rarely heard him a loss for words. But I remember we were standing there before the case was unveiled with where the product was. I said to him, I leaned over and I said, Chief, this is a pretty big deal. And he said to me, oh, this is about everybody. This is about everybody. And as they opened and took the shroud off the case, there was one of Alexander Graham Bell's original telegraphs. There was a Thomas Edison light bulb. And there was Joel Spira's light dimmer, first notebook and original prototype. And I looked at him, and he couldn't say a word. I just said, it is a big deal, and he just went and shook his head.
Joel Spira was still the face of the company when he passed away in April of this year at the age of 88. He's survived by his wife of six decades, Ruth, and their three daughters. The first line of his obituary in the New York Times said he was a man who, quote, changed the ambiance of homes around the world and encouraged romantic seductions of all types.
He would have been tickled pink with that. Because I'll tell you, their code names for each other, which has never been told publicly, is Big Ben and Ruby Begonia. you know, they were old-time, I think, movie references, but they would sign birthday cards to each other and Valentine cards, so they were always romantic. And we'd always get, from my father, all of us daughters would get chocolates on Valentine's Day from your secret admirer.
Chocolates, love notes, nicknames. This guy was smooth. And with his invention, the rest of us could feel a little smoother, too. For The Pulse, I'm Todd Buchanan.